Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. The first century Christians was known as the Way then. That's why it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 2, it says, and asked letters from him, the high priest, to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he, meaning Apostle Paul, found any who were of the Way. See, so Christians were known as the Way. Why? Because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So they were known then as the Way. This was before the term Christianity was ever coined. That comes later in the book of Acts. But for now, that's just a mental note, that the first century Christians were not called Christians then. They were called people of the Way. And the church was called the Way. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. The word goad is a training tool used for cattle and oxen. To drive them where you want them to go is this long, thin metal pole with a sharp pointer at the end of it, at the end of this pole. And when you wanted the ox or your cattle to go a certain direction, you would tap on its head to go that direction. Okay, that's what a goad is. It's a tool that shows you which direction you need to go. Okay? Meaning it's hard for you to kick against the way. The way is the only truth in the life. Amen. It's hard to kick against the Lord, his will. In verse 6, and so he, meaning the Apostle Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, meaning he was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, but Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales or pieces of skin. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Now Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come from that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. This is when the Apostle Paul was still in Damascus. He was preaching in Damascus after a couple days of his conversion, preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Not only preaching it, but proving that Jesus is the Christ. So this is when the Jews came against him and tried to kill him in Damascus. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputing against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Hellenists are, in other words, Greek-speaking Jews. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Why? Because she believed that Jesus is the Son of God. See, when you receive illumination and you believe, faith plus action proves belief. Okay? Faith plus action proves belief. And that's why she did great charitable deeds, good works. Because faith plus action proves belief. Amen.
That's good. I got to write that down.
Proves belief. Faith plus action proves belief. That's according to the scriptures. Let's see here. Starting in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14 through 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, and it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you faith with my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then, that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone, or faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll read that again in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. It says, And at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunic and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius! And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, my Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheep bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Now he's referring to the Old Testament laws of what to eat and what not to eat, because that's part of the health laws that God has commanded the Jewish people so they can be more healthier than all the nations of the world, such as bottom fish they could not eat, such as swine they could not eat because they were garbage eaters of the earth. Birds that are garbage eaters of the earth also, they could not eat. Garbage eaters of the ponds, such as catfish and things like that, they could not eat. That was a command by God because God wanted the Jewish people to be more healthier than all the nations of the world. And so he's referring back to that Old Testament law, thinking that God meant, you know, things to eat. But what God was trying to get at was trying to teach Peter, Gentiles are also clean.
You know, in other words, that God is trying to correct the Jewish bigotry back in those days, and still today, some Jews still believe that God created Gentiles to fuel the fires of hell. Okay, so there is some bigotry still going on, even to this day, just like in the days of Jonah. Jonah was one of the biggest bigots that God tried to correct. Whether he was corrected or not, we don't know, because God left him at the high point. You know, the place that God called him to preach to the Gentiles, to repent. He was waiting for God to destroy Nineveh. God left him there. And that was the last thing we heard about Jonah ever again. So whether he took heed of the correction or not, we don't know. But here, Jesus is correcting Peter's bigotry and Jewish bigotry. That what he's referring to is not just animals. He's referring to also people, Jews and Gentiles, meaning Peter. Don't just go and preach to Jews only. Go out and preach to the Gentiles. Because we're seeing from Acts chapter 9, God orchestrated Peter in starting in verse 32 on the correction of bigotry. Also orchestrating Peter to minister to individuals, to different people. So we're seeing God orchestrating these events taking place. Amen. Hallelujah. And how we are supposed to be open to, you know, events and so forth and not be afraid. Amen? And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. See, right there, when the vision ended, God had such a perfect timing because he knew where everything is at. He orchestrated everything to occur exactly at clockwork, okay? And we're to be obedient and just walk into that, whether we understand it or not. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And he's showing us right here that God gave him a vision correcting Simon Peter's bigotry. And then when the vision ended, there was the two Roman soldiers from Cornelius' house wanting to see Peter. As Peter was wondering what the vision was about, okay? Then he's going to find out real quick what that vision was about. And later we're going to read that he told the Christian Jewish council in Jerusalem what God had shown him, that not only we're to preach to the Jews, but to the Gentiles also. And why Peter? Why did he show Peter first of all these things? Is because Jesus had promised that on this rock, he will build his church. Amen? So Jesus considered Peter to be a leader of the Christian group, a big brother for us to look up to. Amen? Amen. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking after you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God, and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, were divinely instructed by the holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one another of another nation. In other words, Peter's saying, dude, it's unlawful for a Jew to hang out with Gentiles. That's what he's saying here. But then he starts to realize what God meant in that vision because he continues on
says, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname was Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God is orchestrating the Gentiles to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just their hands be laid upon, because I don't think Peter laid their hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. He just preached and they received the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit came upon all of Cornelius' household at that moment of time. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whomever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. See, he's praising God for the orchestration, but understanding that Cornelius is possibly baptized by John the Baptist for repentance. So he was living a penitent life, fearing God by doing good, but may not have known that Jesus is the Christ. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge over the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered again from heaven, What God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. Now this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very hour, 3 men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. See, that's the point of the orchestration, not only for Peter to minister the gospel to Gentiles. Okay, otherwise, Peter probably would not have preached to the Gentiles. But orchestrated from Joppa, from Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 32, all the way to this point, God was showing the Jews that we are to go out and to preach to the Gentiles also, okay? And Gentiles to preach to Jews as well. I mean, vice versa, amen? We're not to keep it in this one little place. We're to go out into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they will receive the Holy Spirit just like they receive the Holy Spirit automatically. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is automatic, and this is the proof of it of Acts chapter 10. But God was orchestrating this whole event to take place so Peter can preach to his peers, the Jewish people, the Jewish Christian council, that we are to go out and to preach the gospel to Gentiles as well. And they will receive the Holy Spirit as well. And seeing God was orchestrating that correction. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. And that's the point. Not only to save people, not only just to fill them with the Holy Spirit, but also to correct the Jews. Amen. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. See, they were only preaching to the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Why? To check it out. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now they're starting to see something else going on here. As God was performing these great signs, wonders, and miracles, given the Holy Spirit as they're preaching to the Gentiles, receiving it with gladness, simplicity of heart, and so forth. Now they're going to face another dilemma. Okay, what do we do now? How do we keep these converts? Making disciples. Because Jesus also commanded us to make disciples. Okay? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And so we're going to continue to see this here. Because Barnabas was sent to check out to see whether these reports were true or not. Okay? And when Barnabas had saw that the grace of the Lord was upon them, and he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Verse 24 of Acts chapter 11. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. See, that's where the coined phrase came from, Christians. It came from the church of Antioch. That's found in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. That's where the word Christianity originated from, the church in Antioch, because God was upon Antioch great and mightily. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.